The Republican-controlled House last week passed a nearly $900 billion defense budget bill and included some amendments that face big hurdles in the Senate and White House. Under the budget plan, the Defense Department would be barred from reimbursing soldiers' travel expenses related to abortion services. It would also cut health coverage for transgender hormone treatments or gender confirmation surgeries for service members. The National Defense Bill now heads to the Democratic-controlled Senate. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions? What would you like to know about the nation's defense budget and what's going on in Congress right now? What do you think about some of these hot-button issues, including some of the so-called culture war-related issues or funding for Ukraine that were hang-ups in the bill? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Caroline Coudrier covers defense and national security for CQ Roll Call. Caroline, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This bill passed with a pretty tight margin, almost all Republicans voting for, almost all Democrats in the House voting against. What is normal? What usually comes out of these defense appropriation bills?
Yes, absolutely. The National Defense Authorization is one of the few bills that Congress does that actually is pretty much bipartisan almost every year. This year, the bill passed out of committee 58-1. With only one Democrat voting against it. So that just goes to show the typical bipartisan nature of the bill. But like you said, Republicans attached a series of quote-unquote culture war provisions during the floor debate on abortion, transgender health care, and diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at the Pentagon that caused all but four Democrats to ultimately vote against the bill. So it'll be interesting to see as the Senate considers its version and as representatives from both chambers go to conference later in the year to sort out what the White House finds acceptable, how many of these Republican provisions actually make it into the final bill, which has passed for the past 62 years. It's almost always bipartisan. And so this year, the Republican actions in the House are threatening that a little bit.
Can you talk about the dynamics within the Republican caucus in the House that led to these items going into this bill?
Yes. So House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is working with a very, very narrow majority, and there are several ultra-conservative Freedom Caucus members who are really insistent on including their priorities in the legislation. And in order for Speaker McCarthy, who, as we remember back to January, was only elected Speaker after several rounds of voting, he has to sort of appease these far-right members who want to see their priorities included. So that's why the decision was made among leadership to allow votes on some of these amendments. And it's important to note that even though the bill does include some provisions on abortion, DEI, and transgender healthcare, there were also several provisions offered by some of these far-right members. Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, as an example, offered several amendments to cut funding for Ukraine. Those were rejected. So not all of the priorities of these ultra-conservative members were included, but a lot of them were.
Now, this goes to the Senate. Democrats control the Senate. What are you watching for there as they look at this big bill and these kind of small bits that might be deal breakers?
Yes. So it's expected to be a different process in the Senate because the Democrats control it, like you said. So there's less danger of some of these quote unquote culture war amendments being included. However, Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa has introduced an amendment that, similar to the House provision, would force the Defense Department to roll back its abortion travel program. It's not clear yet whether Democratic leadership will bring this amendment up for a vote. Actually, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on the floor about an hour ago told members that he really wants the Senate NDA consideration to be as bipartisan as possible without amendments that could sort of sidetrack the chamber and lead into these partisan debates. But it's not clear yet what amendments will come up for consideration. We should know in the next couple of days.
Talking to Caroline Coudrier from CQ Roll Call about the big defense spending bill working its way through Congress. It passed the U.S. House narrowly with some of these controversial amendments we're talking about, and now heads to the Senate. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. Caroline, let's talk about the abortion-related part of this. Now, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, the Defense Department is saying, okay, if you're a service member in a state where you can no longer access abortion services, you have to travel out of state to do that to a state that does, some of your travel expenses can be covered by the Defense Department. Is that, do I have that right? Is that what's at the heart of this right now?
Yes. So under the program, service members can have their travel expenses reimbursed, and they also get 3 weeks of leave in order to travel out of state if needed. As expected, Republicans have been opposed to this policy pretty much as soon as it began. It stems from Democratic concerns that service members who are living in states with strict abortion restrictions after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade might not be able to access abortion if they're stationed in one of those states. Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama has actually been blocking senior military nominations for almost 6 months over his opposition to this abortion policy. More than 270 nominations have not been considered, and all those roles are open because of that. So it's really become one of the, you know, most hot button fights in Congress this year in terms of to what extent the Defense Department should be facilitating reproductive health care for service members.
I wanted to ask you about that blockade in effect by Senator Tuberville. You've reported on that. The highest profile, the top job in the U.S. Marine Corps is among those with, I guess, an interim appointment now because of that blockade. Is there a thought that we might be nearing an end of that in some way?
It's really unclear how long it's going to keep going on. Senator Tuberville has said repeatedly that he either wants the DOD to rescind the abortion policy or he wants Congress to pass a law putting it into place. He argues that the policy does not line up with statute and its executive branch overreach. So it's possible that if the Senator Ernst abortion amendment that I talked about earlier does get adopted and the Defense Department is forced to roll back that abortion policy, that Senator Tuberville could lay off the holds. But until that happens, there's not really an off-ramp for it, and it's caused quite a good amount of angst among Senate Democrats and even some Senate Republicans who really want to see these positions go, you know, get filled. Because like you said, the Marine Corps has had a confirmed leader for, you know, decades and decades. This is the first time in over a century that role is open. And there are also several pretty important positions that are scheduled to come open in the next couple of months, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff being one, that if Senator Tuberville does not change his tactics, those could be open. And Democrats argue that that creates national security problems.
Caroline Coudrier is with us. She covers defense and national security for CQ Roll Call. We're talking about the national defense budget and what details were in the House bill passed last week. It goes to the Senate now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on the amount of money the United States puts into defense spending? What do you think of these amendments that look like they're going to be hangups at the very least on saying, hey, Department of Defense, you can't reimburse service members if they travel for abortion services? Diversity training, funding for Ukraine didn't end up in there, but do you have thoughts on that? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Caroline Coudrier, Roll Call's defense and national security reporter, looking at the details of the U.S. House's nearly $900 billion military budget proposal. Some amendments in there that were controversial led it to it being a very partisan vote, likely to be stripped out by the U.S. Senate. And then what? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on some of these hot button issues related to abortion, diversity that ended up in this budget, funding for Ukraine that ended up not in that House plan, what you want to see happen next. Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Caroline, a big what's next question. Supposing the U.S. Senate takes this bill, passes it mostly as is, but leaves out some of the more controversial provisions we've been talking about. It goes back to the House, very narrow Republican majority. What would you be watching for in that scenario?
Yeah, so I think it'll really be a numbers game if we get to that point. You know, if McCarthy loses a couple of ultra-conservative Freedom Caucus members but still gets most Democrats on board with the bill, then they'll be totally fine. But a lot of the Democrats have pointed out that this abortion provision is a red line for them. They will not support the bill at all if it's included. So it'll really just be a balancing game of what McCarthy can get his caucus to support. And if he doesn't get the full membership of his caucus, how many Democrats he can bring over to sort of make those numbers up. I would predict that a lot of these more extreme provisions do get watered down, and that the conference committee version is more bipartisan, just because anything with too many conservative provisions just will not make it through the Democratic Senate and won't be signed by the by President Biden.
Now, there's been a recent custom anyway among House speakers, I think from either party, where they really don't want to pass a bill that they need help from the other party to pass. They really want their own party, their own majority, to get them over the line. How much of a conflict do you think that could be for Speaker McCarthy if he doesn't get that majority just among Republicans and he needs Democrats?
I think that could definitely be an issue for him. Like you said, speakers really like to have the majorities of their caucuses voting for whatever they're trying to get through. If he does need Democrats to get it through, that definitely will be probably, in the view of Freedom Caucus conservatives, an issue for his speakership overall. And you could see some sort of rebellion in that wing of the caucus. But it's too early to say how exactly that will go down.
I wanted to talk to you about the raw size of this, $900 billion. Sounds like a lot of money. Some in Congress, including Democrat Mark Pocan, a member from Wisconsin, criticized the size. He's looking for cuts in the spending, trying to get more, he's calling in a statement for more transparent government contracts, among other things, looking to cut waste in military spending. Was that even really part of the conversation in the House? Like, hey, maybe we should cut this back a little?
So actually, the size of the defense budget really wasn't a consideration this year. And the reason for that is because the overall top line for the Pentagon was already set in stone by the debt limit deal that President Biden and Republicans struck a couple of months ago. Under that deal, they agreed to spending caps for the next couple of years, and they had already decided that the defense budget can only be $886 billion. So there wasn't really room for much debate on that top line. But like you said, there are sort of wings of both the Democratic and Republican Party that are interested in cutting the Pentagon budget. Democrats like Mark Pocan, Ro Khanna was the only member of the House Armed Services Committee to vote against the bill in committee. He has philosophical issues with the size of the defense budget and typically votes against it. And then Republicans have spoken repeatedly about trying to trim, quote unquote, woke programs at the Pentagon, some of the diversity programs that came up in the amendment consideration, and also climate change initiatives. So you sort of have parts of both parties that are interested in cutting, but because of the debt limit deal that was already struck, there just wasn't too much room for changing the top line. But what something to keep an eye on later this year is that defense hawks from both parties could be interested in passing a supplemental funding package that would focus on Ukraine, potentially throw in some China deterrence initiatives. And that could spark another debate over whether the Pentagon should get even more money beyond what's in this bill.
I wanted to talk more about the Ukraine funding amendments that didn't make it into the final bill. There are some very vocal members of the Republican Party criticizing support for Ukraine, especially military and other financial support for Ukraine. How much traction did that get among the rank and file Republicans and Republican leadership, for that matter, in the House?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it got some support. Maybe about a third of the Republican caucus were supporting those amendments offered by Green, and Matt Gaetz is another big opponent of Ukraine aid. But for the most part, the majority of the Republican caucus is supportive of continuing to fund Ukraine, at least through the National Defense Authorization. I think if we do see a supplemental package later this year, Speaker McCarthy has said that he's not interested in that. And we could see some more divides start to appear among House Republicans and Senate Republicans, who are by and large very supportive of funding Ukraine. But for now, those arguments didn't pick up much traction. By and large, most members are supportive of Ukraine.
Talking to Caroline Coudrier from CQ Roll Call, looking at the National Defense Authorization Act, the thing that funds the U.S. military. Some controversial parts in a U.S. House bill passed with a Republican majority. Looking ahead, Caroline, what's the timeline now for this bill for being considered by the Senate and maybe being bounced back to the House?
Yeah, so the Senate is beginning consideration of its version, which is separate from the House version, this week. The first procedural vote is happening tonight. Senator Schumer has said that a package of 51 amendments is made in order, so they'll be going through all of those this week and next week, with potentially more to come. Then after the Senate goes through its version, the two chambers send representatives to meet in conference. That usually happens in the late fall. And then lawmakers will aim to get the whole bill passed by the end of the year. But this is Congress, so lots of times timelines are thrown off and different things create different issues, and it could get pushed back. But the military like really argues that they want to get the NDA done on time. They want to get the defense appropriations bill, which actually provides the money itself. The NDA is just sort of authorizing that money. They really want that on time so they can continue their planning and carry out their programs as normal. So I think all the lawmakers would really like it to get done in the next couple of months, but who knows?
Now, sometimes we have these government funding bills and debt ceiling showdowns where, you know, parts of the government don't get funded if things don't get done by a deadline. Is that something that could happen here if they blow past the deadline by too far? Well, I don't know, what, military paychecks go unpaid? Is it that dire if this doesn't happen?
So because NDA is just the authorizing bill, if NDA gets delayed, it will cause some headaches for the military, but it won't cause any sort of shutdown. If they don't pass the defense appropriations bill, which actually sends the checks out, then that could cause the government shutdown. And given all the drama this year around the debt limit deal, and the fact that Republicans in the House Appropriations Committees want to spend even less than the amounts that that deal sort of laid out, there's definitely the potential for a government shutdown at some point. I think lawmakers would like to avoid it, but as we've seen in the past, that's not always enough.
Caroline, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was CQ Roll Call defense and national security reporter Caroline Coudrier. We've been talking about the National Defense Authorization Act that passed the U.S. House, now heads over to the Senate. Some sticking points likely to come out. We'll see where things go in the months to come.